Hi folks, welcome to the Contemplations of the Loadseaters, where we are going to be discussing the future plans of the UN and the future of the UN. I'm joined by Hugo.
Hello.
And this is going to be something I despise, I don't doubt. So I look forward to getting into it. Right, where are we beginning?
So I want to talk about the UN, and about its future, right, and its goals. But how I want to do it is to, I want to have some kind of discussion about it, what you think and what we think, how it's going to go and what it implies and things like that. Yeah. But first, it's kind of a springboard or the first part to it. We're going to base that discussion on concrete plans that the UN has. And so this is first going to be kind of a reaction to a promo video that the UN has of their plans, right? Okay. And then I'm going to be talking about some of the commitments in those plans. Well, commitments means, well, points that we're going to do in the future, right? Mm. So first it's going to be the video, we're going to kind of see what it's like, and then we're going to go over the points, and then we can discuss it in general, like what it's like. And so the plans that we're going to discuss are something that is called our common agenda, and it's going to be related to the episode that we did on the Sustainable Development Goals, which it's another Contemplations episode number 25 that we did with Josh. And so if you want to know more about that, well, you can go watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the Sustainable Development Goals. This is something else. It's called Our Common Agenda. And it actually grows out of the celebration of the UN of its 75th anniversary, right? Because last year it had that kind of jubileum. And for that occasion, they met up, they had a resolution, and they passed a resolution saying, okay, well, this is our goals, this is our values, and this is what we want for the UN in the future.
Mm.
And so the video that we're going to see is like a promo for that, like 75 years since the UN was started, and where it's now and where it's heading. And so that video is directly on the UN page. You can watch it yourself, and it's an amazing propaganda piece. I love it. Just the skill involved is just brilliant.
Okay.
And so it layouts what kind of terrible state the world is in, the catastrophes that are around us, and then it kind of gradually switches to how more international cooperation and international engagement, which means the UN and bigger UN, more powerful UN, can solve all those problems and kind of lead us to utopia. And so that is kind of the point behind the video. And of course, the reality is, I think, much, much different. You know, it ignores the incentives that the UN has and the reality of the things that they should talk about. But
yeah,
we'll leave that aside. We'll watch the video and we'll see what we think. We're going to be pausing and reacting to it in real time.
Go on, then.
Our world is facing unprecedented challenges. Climate change is altering natural balance. And our precious wildlife is struggling to survive. We are battling a new era of conflict and violence. There's the disruptive impact from digital technologies and shifting demographics with gaping inequalities.
So, like, see, like that's just, those shots are amazing.
It's horrific.
Like, and but that kind of style, the action shots with the forefront separate from the background and the movie.
Yeah. But the whole thing, like, I was just paying attention. Okay, so there's a typhoon in Indonesia or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there always has been. There's never been a time that hasn't happened. There's a polar bear stuck on a bit of ice. Yeah,
yep.
There's always polar bears on bits of ice. The polar bear population has been booming, apparently, because it's been made illegal.
No.
I looked this up because there was thinking, oh, look at these poor polar bears. And it's like, no, this was one polar bear that was starving, because these things happen.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a reflection of the polar bear population. It's actually booming. But you don't hear that because, of course, that goes against the narrative that all of the species of the Earth are dying off because of climate change and all this sort of stuff.
Well, so they say that there's a new era of conflict and violence. So, I mean, yes, there is new kinds of conflict and violence, but worse than before. If you look at some of the graphs,
when has that ever been different?
If you look at some of the graphs of like people dying from violence or this and that sort, right? It's has been going down. You know, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that the UN has too much to do with it, you know, but over time it has gone down somewhat, yeah. Right? So new, sure, worse, I don't know.
Debatable.
And so if it's new but better.
Like, things that happened in the past are definitely worse than the things that are happening now. Even the most barbaric things that are happening now are not as bad as the things that happened in the past.
Yep.
There's no question of it.
And so if it's a new era of conflict and violence, that type of new type is actually more kind of humanitarian one or better one, you know, better for non-combatants.
In some ways, definitely.
I don't know. They say that there's a disruptive impact from digital technologies, right? So sure, but disruptive, that's usually in a good way meant, right?
But you're progressive, yeah.
But also, doesn't it mean like people have access to technologies and they make their lives easier, you know, and we have like nice things, you know, we have these reflectors, you know, and everything. So this is like, isn't that a good thing? So why would you position that message in the middle of pictures about war and stuff
kind
like
of,
that, right?
Sort of a Luddite message, isn't it? Oh, this new technology, you must break it.
And I don't even think that was necessarily their point here. I'm not really sure. I just find it interesting that they put it there like that. And then they say demographics and gaping inequalities. And what does that mean? Like, is that the far right talking point about demographics in Destiny or something? Like, I don't think it is, but that's kind of what it sounds like, or not, right?
Certainly the far left talking point about equality.
Yeah, exactly. Or is it about immigration? I don't know. Like, there were some immigration pictures. So what is it about? Maybe it's just signaling. Probably it's just signaling, but...
I get the feeling though, the way this has been put together, I mean, as you said, it's masterful propaganda. Because really, at the end of watching that first 45 seconds, all I'm thinking of is, oh my God, catastrophe, bad things, they're closing in around me, everything's going horribly. And then you just look outside and it's just crickets, isn't it? It's
like, yeah. Right, yeah, we'll go on.
Now, a global epidemic is reshaping our world as we know it. We are at a crossroad at a time when our world seems so divided. Our world is struggling to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like that kind of dramatic music, you know?
Yeah.
But really, really touching. It intensifies and then there's this drop, you know?
But again, the presuppositions that underlie what they're saying, at a time when the world is so divided, the world has never been more united than it is now. It's never been more global and integrated. It's always been way more divided than this. I mean, you know, much more often on much more smaller scale. So as if this was like there was a perfectly united world 100 years ago or something. And oh, but look, it's all falling apart now. So it's a call to action.
But they say that it seems so divided, so there might be a twist later.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it does seem that way, especially if we put all, you know, here's a picture of a polar bear and a jihadi and a natural disaster. And oh, look at that. You know, it seems terrible.
Right, yeah.
For the United Nations 75th anniversary, we set out to ask the world, what are your hopes for your future?
Well, I wasn't asked.
Exactly. So a lot of people weren't asked. That's the one thing. But... my point here is, if it's the 75th anniversary of the UN and the world is as terrible as they say in the first minute or so,
how do we hold the UN accountable for all of this destruction they have wrought?
What does that say about the UN if the world is as terrible as it is, right? Is the UN making it worse?
Well,
I mean, I don't know. But
they haven't said that they aren't.
Exactly. And so if let's say that they are making it worse and then this says a lot about the UN, well, when they say, what are your hopes for the future? Well, is that a threat? they've shown me a minute of these apocalyptic images and then, what are your hopes for the future? Are you going to give me your money or not?
Exactly. Please don't shoot.
Come on. You know? Here's my wallet. Come on. Calm down. Yeah, let's go.
If you could choose one thing to say to the UN, to world leaders, about the future, what would that be?
In January 2020, the United Nations launched a global initiative to have the world's largest conversation on the future we want. Discussions have taken place in all settings, from classrooms to boardrooms, parliaments to village halls across the world, in order to reach as many people as possible. The United Nations listened, and the world spoke.
Yeah. So, see?
I just can't even imagine that there's going to be one, like, not even one commonly agreed thing. So the Chinese communists are going to say this, the Islamists running across North Africa are going to say something else, and I'm going to say, please leave me alone to grill.
So exactly. And I mean, I want to like talk about this a little bit more because this is a great example of the power of the agenda setter. That's something that kind of the elite theorists, right? People who criticize democracy based on their position that real democracy can never exist because it's always an oligarchy, but disguised in some ways. There's the iron law of oligarchy is a thing. And so they say that the agenda setter, the power of the agenda setter is really important whenever you have like a debating thing, right? So if you have parliament, well, it matters what gets discussed in the parliament, who chooses what gets discussed in the parliament and how and who gets to speak and for how long and under what circumstances, things like that, right? And so if you can set the agenda like that, well, then you can do a lot without actually having the power to choose whether you're going to do X or Y because you get to choose what gets voted on discussed.
It's a form of sort of subtle editorializing.
Exactly.
Where you don't even get to consider options outside of the current institutional framework.
Exactly. And specifically with this example then, why should the future of the world be kind of collectively decided at the UN? Like they're implying that. Like without that presupposition that this doesn't make sense. So this is what they're basing it on, right?
Yeah.
So isn't it up to every individual or every community to kind of work towards their own future and to making it happen is to make their own future what they want to see based on their aspirations and goals, which might be very different from some of the others or all the others, right? They might be contradictory.
Yeah. And I mean, what happens when the East Asian and African countries get together and vote against women's rights?
Or vote against the UN.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.